You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 oh.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Central, along with my good friend Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Hey, Vince, how are you?
All right. I had, you know, a few days of no stress when it comes to sports, so feels a little weird. I wouldn't say it feels great, but I'm surviving.
Yeah, that's kind of the boat I'm in, too. Today's show is brought to you, and in fact, the whole postseason is brought to you by Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code POSTSEASON at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100. It really hurts that they keep making me do promos about the postseason events. So, obviously nothing has actually happened in the Dodgers land since the last time we talked, but we have gotten,
several minor things.
What? Yeah, that's true. Tell me the minor things, Vince.
Roberts is coming back and David Freese is not coming back.
Yep. Yeah. So, David Freese is not a surprise, I don't think. And Dave Roberts, I think, technically happened before you listened to our last episode, but after we'd recorded it. So, but both of those things I file under not surprising. But we do have several good questions from a few of you listeners. So so today, as kind of our, you know, our easy entry into the off season, we're going to start with answering some listener questions. And let's jump right in, shall we, Vince?
Do it.
Okay. Our buddy John Herrera, he asked, what are you guys' opinions on the social media bashing of Clayton Kershaw, running over his jersey, choker memes, etc.? John doesn't mention there's also a video of a guy taking off his Kershaw jersey at the game and throwing it down onto the field. So, Vince, what are your thoughts on all that?
Those two security guys just looked at the guy, didn't even move one inch. They just, I don't know what they were expecting. I don't know. Definitely that probably wasn't what they were expecting, but still, that was funny to see. In terms of, you know, in general, Twitter and Instagram have spare no feelings. So anytime something happens in sports world, you know, the memes and the jokes are going to get off. So I'm fine with that. That's normal. Every player does it. You know, I've partaken in it probably for some other players for other teams. So that's just the nature of the beast that it is. In terms of some of the extra stuff, you know, like throwing the jersey on the field and letting fans run over the jersey, I can't get on board with that. And not just for, you know, Kershaw, but any players for most teams, unless they do something outrageous or they, you know, something that's not just failing in the clutch or in the postseason or in the regular season, whatever it is. So, yeah, can't get on board with that. But as far as the jokes and the memes go, I probably wouldn't do it for people on my team, or at least the Dodgers. The Raiders, yeah, I'm a different fan when it comes to the Raiders. I'm a little more, a irrational fan, I would say. But when it comes to the Dodgers, I'm a little more rational. And, you know, those are my guys, and I'm not going to intentionally go out of my way to put them down. I might make a little joke here and there at their expense, but nothing to the point of, you know, extra, but.
Yeah, I have a pretty firm stance on letting people be fans however they want to be. But along with that, I also reserve the right to think somebody's an idiot. And basically, I can't think of any on-field event that would cause me to run over somebody's jersey or throw their jersey on the field. Like you kind of hinted at, off-field stuff, you know, maybe, you know, obviously a domestic violence or a drug charge.
I stomped out an Antonio Brown jersey, but
Felipe Vasquez. Yeah, if I had a Felipe Vasquez jersey, I probably would have burned it by now. But yeah, on-field stuff, I think it's short-sighted and childish, especially a guy like Kershaw, who, you know, his failures in the postseason are well-documented and overblown. And if you don't appreciate what Clayton Kershaw has done for this franchise the last decade or so, you know, that's your loss, I guess. You know, but for me, the main thing I feel when I see this stuff happening is renewed anger that Clayton Kershaw was put in that position in that game, because it never should have happened. He shouldn't have been put in that position to fail like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so. Like I said, like we talked about, he had his moment after the strikeout, and that should have been it for that day. All right, let's get into the next question. Yeah. I'll ask this one from a listener from the Bay Area, Douglas Stanley. Three questions. We're going to go with the first one right now. He talks about he doesn't like the looks of Max Muncy at second. He asks if Muncy stated a preference of where he likes to play. Does his batting average vary depending on where he plays? And then piggybacking off that, does Cody Bellinger's performance depend where he plays?
Yeah, you know, and I guess it's hard to know the difference between correlation and causation in this case. Max Muncy does have, you know, this year he played actually – he got more plate appearances as a second baseman than anywhere else, and he had his worst numbers as a second baseman. But, you know, it's hard to know how much of that is really because he was playing second base and how much of it is, you know, he played a lot of second base during a time that he happened to be slumping more offensively. You know, as far as Muncy defensively at second, he was definitely much better at second base in 2019 than he had been in the past, to the point where I think in 2018 it was scary. I mean, the reason he didn't play much in the postseason against lefties was because they needed to get David Freese in the lineup and there was nowhere else they could hide Muncy. And this year, at least, he was passable at three different positions. You could play him at first, second, or third, and he would not embarrass himself out there, and at times played really well defensively. So that was good. I don't think Max Muncy is a second baseman long term, but I mean, at this time last year, I didn't think he would ever play second base again. So who knows what, you know, I mean, I think what he showed us is that he has the ability to work hard and improve on defense, so he could turn himself into a second baseman if that's what he wanted to do. As far as the offense goes, yeah, he was worse as a second baseman, but I have a hard time really thinking, and maybe it did play a part. Maybe he's just so much more comfortable at first base because his best numbers were as a first baseman. But I don't know.
You'd have to get really deep into it. Like for Muncy, would have to get really deep into it and see when he was playing a lot of games at first, when he was playing a lot of games at second. A lot of different factors that go into Muncy's, but like I said, he was passable at all positions. I think the Dodgers would probably prefer to keep him at first base, but the fact that he made himself playable at second and third, you know, to the point of being an above average defender in terms of defensive runs saved, you know, whatever metric you want to use. Some other metrics, he might have been a little below average, but still pretty much around the average. You know, I think he's fine.
Yeah. And as for Bellinger, you know, he was very good offensively regardless of what position he was playing. Center field was actually his worst, but it was also by far the smallest sample. And so, you know, first base and right field were both pretty darn good. And center field was pretty darn good, too. He had a 906 OPS as a center fielder. So it says something about his season that was his worst position. But, yeah, sometimes it coincided with offensive slumps and sometimes it didn't. And for Bellinger especially, knowing that he played first base and the outfield all through the minors coming up, I have a really hard time with Bellinger believing that his defensive positioning has anything to do with his offense. All right, so we'll take a break right now. We'll come back. We'll answer a couple more questions from Douglas, and then one other question from somebody else. Hey, Vince, did you know the postseason's coming up?
I am aware.
Well, Vivid Seats is an online ticket event marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. One thing I've learned is that going to Dodgers postseason games definitely qualifies as an experience that lasts a lifetime. Most notably for me, Game 3 of the World Series last year with my two sons and my dad and my uncle is an experience I and they will never forget. So with Vivid Seats, you can watch your favorite team and or musical artist or whatever in person, and you earn credit back on all your purchases made through the Vivid Seats app. They have what's called the Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program that you are automatically enrolled in just by using the app. So Vivid Seats can help you find seats to any of your favorite live events, including sports, concerts, theater, and more, all through the app. Vivid Seats offers great prices and an easy purchasing experience. And like I said, the loyalty program is awesome. They have different reward statuses ranging from MVP to Hall of Famer. So you can earn different amounts of credit on each purchase. And then you use that to get free tickets eventually. So go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. You are automatically enrolled, like I said, in the rewards loyalty program just by using the app, and you will get credits on all your purchases as part of that rewards program. And all Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by a 100% guarantee. So if you're going to see the Dodgers in the postseason, use the Vivid Seats app because it's awesome. And be sure to enter promo code POSTSEASON at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100.
All right, I'm going to take it back to the salt and pepper days, and let's talk about sex. For some of you, that may have been around the time where your glory days were. For some of you, you might not even know who salt and pepper is. But regardless of all that, I'm here to tell you how you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. BlueChew.com. That's blue, like Dodger blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know it works, and you can take it whenever, with whatever's in your stomach, whatever's going on in your life. It's chewable, they work twice as fast as a pill, and you can be ready whenever the mood hits. This isn't for guys who can't perform, it's for any guy who wants that extra boost in the bedroom. It's like a little adrenaline rush, like if you're on the mound in Game 7 of the World Series and you know the crowd's going crazy and you get that extra adrenaline rush, that's what it's like. And it's easy. It's prescribed online, shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. No weird doctor's visits, no talking about your sex life, no waiting in the pharmacy and maybe seeing somebody you know from high school, none of that awkwardness. It's all made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, it's cheaper than a pharmacy. And right now, we've got a special deal for all you listeners. You can go to BlueChew.com, get your first shipment free with the promo code MLB. All you have to do is pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring Locked On Dodgers.
Okay, it is time for our obscure former Dodger of the day. I don't think I've done this one before, even though I spent a lot more time thinking about this guy than I probably should. He actually only played a total of 29 games with the Dodgers, split over three seasons, 56 plate appearances. His name is Jerry Royster. So Jerry Royster, he came up with the Dodgers in 1973, played a little bit with them, 19 plate appearances in 73, six games but zero plate appearances in 74, but he scored two runs. So I guess he's a pinch runner. Had zero stolen bases, so that's interesting for a pinch runner. And then 37 plate appearances in 75, and then after the 1975 season, he was traded to the Braves along with Tom Pashorek and Jimmy Winn, and the Dodgers received back Dusty Baker, which is what got Jerry Royster on my mind, because the news I saw today that the Phillies are going to interview Dusty Baker for their managerial opening. I guess if they're feeling a backlash against statistical analysis, Dusty Baker is definitely the guy you want if you want a backlash against that. But Jerry Royster, ended up playing for 16 seasons. I think he managed the Brewers later. Managed the Brewers in 2002. Not quite the whole season. He came in. He managed 147 games, so came in 15 games into the season. But he is the cousin of Greg Vaughn, and Jerry Royster's nephew, Ryan Royster, played in the minor leagues and is now an agent I actually sat next to him on a flight a few years ago after the winter meetings. Really nice guy. Ryan Royster tells a funny story about the time there were two Ryan Roysters in the minor leagues at the same time. And this kid came up to him, handed him a baseball card to sign, and it was the other Ryan Royster. And he just kind of held the card up next to him because the Ryan Royster I was sitting next to on the plane is black, and the Ryan Royster the kid handed him a card of was white. And so he didn't really say anything. He just kind of held it up and said, yeah, that's not me. I think they're also related to, I can't remember. He was telling me they're all cousins. He's from the Bay Area. There are a lot of cousins who came out of that area who played in the majors and minors. So that's our obscure former Dodger, Jerry Royster, who was once traded for Dusty Baker, who might be the Phillies' new manager, reunited with Bryce Harper. All right, let's jump back into the questions. Let's do another one from Douglas Stanley. It's about the DH. He says, I despise the American League. I think the DH is an abomination, but I always hear people talking about instating the DH in the National League. Why don't we ever hear people talking about getting rid of the DH in the American League instead?
Because for the most part, people don't want that, I would imagine the majority of fans want the DH all around. Especially, I would imagine the MLB wants it all the way around, especially Manfred and them, because more offense. So that's probably why you don't hear about getting rid of the DH. I'm in favor of the DH all around at this point. You know, it's fun when Ryu hits a home run. That moment, I don't think that moment justifies the rest of the moments that would be happening with the DH in the lineup. So that's kind of where I'm at on the DH.
Yeah, I think the main reason you don't ever hear anybody talking about taking the DH out of the American League, well, for one thing, it's not like it's a new thing. It's been going for 47 years now. So, that's one thing. But it would actually, removing the DH would actually take jobs away from Major League Baseball players. J.D. Martinez might have trouble sticking around, even though he's a great hitter. A lot of guys, David Ortiz wouldn't have played nearly as long. And so when you're actually talking about a change that would literally take jobs away, I don't think the union is ever going to get on board with that. And I do think adding jobs is one of the reasons that the DH is probably going to come. It may come as a concession in some labor negotiations. We'll give up this if you put the DH in the National League to create more jobs or whatever. I've said before, I'm torn on the DH because I definitely feel like the National League is better than the American League, like more pure. But also, when pitchers come up to hit, I think if I'm paying money to see world-class athletes, I'd like to see them doing the thing that they're good at. And there are very few, and by very few, I think I mean zero, pitchers who are good enough hitters that I feel like they should be hitting in major league games. So I do love when pitchers hit home runs or even get a clutch RBI single. And it's kind of like the shift. Every time a pitcher gets a hit, Twitter explodes with, who needs the DH? Just like every time somebody hits a base hit where the second baseman normally would have been standing because he's shifted, they say, oh, I hate the shift. But you never hear the pro DH people when the pitcher strikes out or, crowns out weakly like they almost always do. And you never hear the anti-shift people when the shift works. So, I feel dirty being in favor of the DH, but I think I am. So, I am.
All right, next question. I'm going to let you take care of it. It's more up your alley. Last one from Douglas. He notes that he read Smart Baseball and he looks at the game a little differently now. He's not a fan of relievers ERA. He focuses on inherited runner scoring, but he doesn't think that's a good indicator for a reliever. So he wants to know, is there a better stat than inherited runner stranded percentage, or what's the best way to evaluate a reliever's performance?
Yeah, and he makes a good point. He goes a little deeper and he says, if a pitcher comes in with a runner on third and nobody out and that guy scores, it counts the same against his inherited runner scoring percentage as if he comes in with a runner on first and two outs, you know, and those are much different situations. And so, yeah, inherited runner scoring, I've never been a big fan of that anyway. Because it's kind of a junk stat. It's way too broad. For me, when it comes to relief pitchers, what I look at is kind of the basic stuff. How good is he at keeping guys off the bases? And ideally, the more strikeouts, the better. You know, we talked about it in relation to Casey Sadler earlier this season with, you know, he had shiny numbers, but it was like, well, he doesn't limit contact. And so how reliable are those going to be? Because, you know, if you do have a guy come in with a runner on third and one out, well, you know what? You could really use a strikeout in that situation because a fly out scores a run. A strikeout doesn't. Even a ground out could. So you want a guy who can limit contact. So for me, the things I look at for a reliever are not really very advanced stats. I look at things like whip, walks plus hits per inning pitched, which is basically shorthand for how good is he at keeping guys from getting on base, because that's really important to me in a reliever. And the other thing I look at is strikeout rate. And there's lots of different ways to look at that. You could look at strikeouts per nine. I prefer strikeout percentage just because if a guy comes in and, you know, faces six batters and gives up three homers and strikes three guys out, he has the same strikeouts per nine as a guy who gets a 1-2-3 inning with three strikeouts, but he has a much worse strikeout percentage, et cetera. So, yeah, I just look for guys who can keep guys off the bases and preferably with the strikeout as much as possible. And I think that's the best indicator for how good a reliever is going to be. It's why when Kenley Jansen is on, it's when he's missing bats with his cutter. Because even when he has success, if they're hitting the ball hard, it's fleeting success or even a little bit of luck. So I look for guys who can strike guys out. So you have anything you want to add on that, Vince?
No, not really. You put it eloquently.
That's what I do. All right. Last question, I believe. This is from Greg from Bartlett, Illinois. He left us a voicemail. The connection was a little bit bad, so I'm not going to play the actual voicemail, but I will paraphrase it for you. Basically, Greg says, Andrew Friedman, his approach seems to be get the Dodgers to the postseason. Don't worry about breaking the bank. Stay under the competitive balance tax because once you get to the postseason, it's kind of a crapshoot anyway. But Greg says, but fans of the team, you know, turning out in record numbers at Dodger Stadium, supporting the team, even though a bunch of them can't watch the games on TV. It seems like the team owes it to the fans to spend big bucks this offseason. So his two questions are, number one, do we agree with that? And number two, if so, who should they get? And his thoughts are he wants Gerrit Cole, but he could see the idea of maybe Anthony Rendon or whoever else. So there's a few things to address there, Vince, but I'll let you start.
This offseason being the offseason to spend money, I would agree with that to a certain extent. I don't think it's going to sound bad, but I don't necessarily think Friedman is concerned about how many fans show up. Well, he is to a certain extent, but his job is to put the best team that he thinks out there, not to appease the fans and spend money for the sake of spending money. So, you know, in previous years, the Dodgers Friedman has been maybe penalized a little bit because he's brought back his own players, which we've talked about before. And, you know, they did spend money when they re-signed Turner and Hill and Jansen all in the same offseason. They just didn't bring anybody new in terms of those signings. But they did spend money because those guys could have went somewhere else. And, you know, regardless of what you think about those signings, you know, they worked out pretty well with, you know, Jansen's now being the 5-year deal, now maybe being a little bit scary as it goes forward. But regardless of that, you know, this last offseason they re-signed Kershaw, or they extended Kershaw, which same thing. They spent the money. Maybe you know, Kershaw's a little bit different case. So I'm not going to fault them for how much they're spending on Kershaw, because it's relative to how much they get to spend on the other guys. You know, Walker Buehler's not making much. Cody Bellinger's not making much. Corey Seager's not making much. A lot of their main guys aren't making so much. So they, you know, they can kind of treat their guys right with Kershaw and Jansen and everyone else. You know, in terms of spending to win, I don't think that's going to be that's not the way to guarantee a win, because we've seen a lot of teams spend in recent years and didn't work out so well. And, you know, especially when it comes to pitching, you can very easily sign someone and they're not good, or they get hurt and they're out for the year, and then that goes down the drain. And even with guys, you know, Anthony Rendon might be a little different. He might be not necessarily slump-proof, but a little bit more proven. His style of at the plate is a little more proven than others, and, you know, when it would come to postseason and stuff. But even then, I mean, Corey Seager was the hottest hitter on the planet the last month, pretty much, and we saw what happened in the postseason. And, you know, Cody Bellinger a little bit to that extent as well, and AJ Pollock just had a pretty good second half and couldn't even make contact with the ball when it came to the postseason. So, you know, even if you spend the money, it's not necessarily that those guys are going to work. So there's a lot that goes into it, but I would prefer the Dodgers be very much in the market for Gerrit Cole and Anthony Rendon. And, you know, I'd like to see them, you know, maybe go a little bit above what they're comfortable with in order to secure a position a little bit more.
Yeah, you know, when you look at previous years in free agency, like you said, A, they have signed big free agents. They just happen to be returning to the team. But also, I mean, it's hard to see who they should have signed. I mean, last year we wanted them to sign Adam Ottavino. And Adam Ottavino had a good season for the Yankees. He's a good relief pitcher. But we've also seen he's not foolproof, you know. I think just in tonight's game,
he gave up a bomb to Springer.
Yeah, you know, and so, and we've seen Adam Ottavino when he was on the Rockies. We saw him implode against the Dodgers. And so, you know, there are no sure things. Bryce Harper, I would have loved to have him on a shorter-term deal. I'm really glad the Dodgers aren't the team that has him under contract for 13 years, even at that average annual value. You know, for me, it's not as much about the money as, you know, a lot of other things. When you're locked into a contract for that long, you know, when you look at the one I always mention is Albert Pujols with the Angels. You know, Pujols has not been a very good player for several years, but he's still playing because he's still under contract. So, and that's kind of the concern I end up with guys like Anthony Rendon and Gerrit Cole, because, you know, Rendon is 29 years old, 29 and a half-ish. Gerrit Cole is 29, just turned 29 two months ago. Last month. And so, you know, if those guys are coming in looking for 4 or 5 year contracts, I'm 1,000% in favor of it. But if they're looking for longer contracts, well, then it gets a little dicey, you know. And I do kind of think for Gerrit Cole, actually for either of those guys, I'd be willing to say, okay, we'll go longer than we're comfortable with, knowing that we might eat the contract later. But they have to go into it being willing to eat the contract. That's where, for me, that's where the Angels have fallen apart with Pujols is, you know, instead of just eating the contract and benching him or releasing him, they have played him. And, you know, if the Dodgers sign Gerrit Cole and Anthony Rendon, whatever it takes, and then be willing to say, oh, you're 34 and you're bad now, okay, you're released, then I'm all in favor of it. But it's also really easy for me to say that when I'm talking about somebody else's money.
I don't know who's going to perform when it matters. I mean, just look at the Nationals. They spent all that money on Patrick Corbin, and he pitched well in the first game of the series, and then he imploded in game three, and then he came back and did the relief in game five. But Anibal Sanchez, I mean, I'm pretty sure he's not a big money guy, and he's not a guy that you would say, oh, the Dodgers need to spend money on Anibal Sanchez, and he's dominated the Dodgers and dominated the Cardinals in game one. So you just don't know where that performance is going to come from. And I, you know, the issue with the Dodgers more so is that they don't really get those performances too often in the postseason, whereas other teams do from guys that aren't big money guys.
Yeah, I think you're putting kind of a fine point on it. I'll say it more clearly. Anibal Sanchez is not a very good pitcher, and yet he has pitched really well in the postseason. You know, there really is, you know, who knows how Gerrit Cole is going to do in game three of the ALCS. You know, he's probably the best pitcher on the planet right now, but there's no guarantees when he goes up against the Yankees. So we'll see. But yeah, I do want them to be aggressive in free agency this offseason. I think that's it. So thank you all for listening. We will be back, you know, most weekdays this offseason, if not all of them. And we'll have a lot to talk about, especially as the offseason gets going, the hot stove and everything. So please come back, listen to us every day, subscribe to the show, do all that stuff. Tell your friends about us. Rate and review us on iTunes if you don't mind. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. You can email us, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. It's pretty easy to remember. And our phone number, if you want to leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, is 323-863-LOCK, L-O-C-K. We're here every weekday morning. We hope you will be too. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you later.
Have a good one.
I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!